Hi, this is Chris Pels from idevtech.com. In this video, we're going to learn about something called CSS control adapters. So what are CSS control adapters? Well, in .NET 2.0, Microsoft introduced a new class and a new concept called control adapters that allow you to intervene and alter the rendering process for ASP.NET server-side controls. As I'm sure you all know, it's pretty easy to use a server-side control like a menu control. You just put some simple syntax on your ASPX page, and then the .NET framework handles the rendering process for all the HTML markup that actually is sent down to the browser when your menu control renders. However, many people have expressed an interest in controlling what HTML markup is rendered when your ASP.NET server control goes through its rendering process. Thus, the concept of control adapters was introduced. So let's get started by looking at a simple menu control adapter that I built here from some of the sample code in what's called the control adapter toolkit, and then we'll dive into the details. So what I've done here is to set up a sample website that has a page on it where we've implemented an ASP.NET menu, and this menu uses the CSS control adapter for menus. So let me fire up the sample web page and we'll take a look at it. And as you can see, it is a pretty straightforward looking menu, a few options here. So how is this different from the traditional ASP.NET menu when it's rendered down here to the sample page? So to answer that question, let me flip back here to Visual Studio, and what I want to do is to open the same page again, but this time open it in Internet Explorer. As you saw, we had that first sample page opened in the Firefox browser, and right away you can see that this menu looks very different than the one we have over in Firefox, and yet it's the same page. So what's going on here? Well, this page in IE is being rendered using the traditional ASP.NET menu control, which looks very different than the one we saw in Firefox. I'll explain in a few minutes why using the same page in two different browsers is being rendered a different way. That's actually one of the neat features that we have with the control adapters in general. But first, let's look at the source code for the menu here in IE. We'll view the source, and we'll scroll down and look at the part that pertains to our menu class. And it's right down in here. As you can see, the menu is being rendered as an HTML table, which is the default way that ASP.NET menu server-side control renders its output. So now let's go back over here and look at the Firefox version. And to do this, we're going to use a little tool called Firebug, which is a neat add-on to Firefox. And what this allows us to do is to look at the HTML here for the menu, and we get down here into the menu class, and we can see right away that this menu in Firefox is rendered very differently because it's using the CSS control adapter, and it's rendering an unordered list with a variety of list items. So what we've done here is that by using the CSS control adapter, we have completely changed the rendering process for the ASP.NET menu control to render an unordered list and list items. And let's go now and look at the code in Visual Studio and see how we make that happen. So let's take a look at how we implemented the CSS control adapter for the ASP.NET menu control in the sample page that we just saw. The first step to doing that is to show you where you can download the CSS control adapter toolkit, which has all the pieces necessary for implementing this on your own websites. And if you go off and search for that, you may end up in one of two places. And one of those places is on ASP.NET/CSS adapters. And as you can see here, it says that you can download the source code. However, in March 07, Microsoft opened the development of this to the community, and now it is maintained on a page in CodePlex, which is codeplex.com/CSS friendly. Here on CodePlex, you have access to all the different aspects of the project, including the current releases, and let's go there and look at the releases that are available. And one of the things that has been done here in the CodePlex project, unlike the original release of source code on the ASP.NET site, is that the team has created an assembly called CSSFriendly.dll, which allows you to more easily incorporate this functionality into your own website. And of course, all of the source code is still available in the full toolkit as it was on the ASP.NET site. So I'm going to show you both the use of the CSS-friendly assembly and the entire source code in the sample toolkit. So let's go back over to Visual Studio and take a look at the sample project. Now, I have two website projects here. One uses the assembly, which I just mentioned, that you can download from CodePlex. And the other one is a website that installs the full source-based version of the CSS control adapters. So if you want to use the source code-based version of the control adapters, what you do is create a new website using a new project template that has been added to Visual Studio. And if we go up here to the solution and click Add a New Website, you'll see that there's an ASP.NET CSS friendly website project type or template here that you can use. And that's what I've done to create this upper website called Friendly Website. Now, inside the source code based version, you have all the pieces that are necessary to create CSS control adapters for the so-called out-of-the-box adapters, I should say, for a variety of controls. Now, there are a couple pieces to these CSS control adapters, and let's take a look at them here. First is the actual source code that implements the adapters. Here you can see there is source code in the toolkit for several of the common controls that you would find in ASP.NET. And then also you will see here that there are essentially corresponding style sheets that map to the different type of CSS control adapters that you can implement, because one of the major differences and purposes of having the CSS control adapter is that, as we saw, you can render the HTML for the control in an entirely different manner, and that's essentially part of the standard, what you would implement for the standard control adapter in the .NET framework. However, what we're doing here is that rather than use some of the style related properties for controls such as font size and color, we're leaving the implementation of all of the look and feel to the control to a cascading style sheet instead. And this allows us to implement our control in a more pure dynamic HTML approach. We also have some JavaScript files here for some of the controls. As you can see here, the menu adapter has a JavaScript file. So in the case of the menu that we saw on our sample web page, there would be three pieces to that. There's the code in the VB class up here for menu adapter that actually overrides and implements the rendering process of the HTML elements that we saw. In this case, it's changed it from a table to an unordered list. We then have the corresponding menu cascading style sheet here, which implements some of the core behavior type functionality for the menu control. And we'll see how we would implement our own look to the menu control, and that's done in a separate cascading style sheet, which we'll get to in a moment. And then in the case of the menu, as I said, there is a JavaScript file that implements some of the client-side functionality necessary for the menu to do its normal operation. So one approach to using the CSS control adapters is that you could include the appropriate source code files in your own website. They would get compiled, and then you would utilize the control adapter via that compiled version of the source code. And the other is to use that CSSFriendly.dll assembly, which has compiled into it all of the source code and has the JavaScript files you see here embedded. And then you only have to implement or use, I should say, the appropriate cascading style sheet in your website. In the sample website that we saw, I chose to use the compiled assembly version of the CSS adapter controls because that's most likely the way that you would want to implement them in your own website. And before we go off and look at specifically how that is implemented, we should take a look at the menuadapter.vb file here to see what the source code is behind the scenes that's overriding the HTML rendering process, so you have a bit of a perspective on that. So let's open up the menuadapter.vb class and take a look at what we have here. So essentially what we're doing in our menuadapter class is that we are overriding the parent menuadapter class in adapters.menuadapter, and then we are doing two things. First, we're overriding some of the methods in the parent class, and then we're adding some additional methods that implement the necessary rendering functionality that we want. So let's take a look here at what's going on, and essentially we go down here. The first method we're overriding is the onInit method, and after calling the base onInit, we are registering the JavaScript class, or I should say JavaScript file that's associated with a menu called menuadapter.js down here. And all of that this code is doing is looking to see whether or not that JavaScript file is in a default slash JavaScript folder, or it may be in a completely different folder. And if you do move it to a folder other than the slash JavaScript, you need to add a tag to the web.config file. So once we registered the JavaScript, then the next method that we're overriding is the begin tag and the end tag rendering methods. Each of those methods receives an HTML text writer as a parameter, and then that writer is used to write out the appropriate HTML to the stream going down to the browser. And one thing to point out in the begin tag method here on line 51 is that the first thing that's happening is we're writing a div, and that div is being given an attribute, a class attribute on line 52 called CSS selector class. And remember that when we go and look at the implementation or the declarative syntax for the menu control on our actual web page, because that's a very important factor in determining which style sheet values get used in rendering your menu. Then we go on to render another div as a container for the menu, and one thing I should point out here that you'll see throughout this code is that in addition to rendering the actual HTML element, we are rendering class attributes for use in associating the appropriate styles in our cascading style sheet to the different elements on the page. And as I said, the main purpose of this control adapter are really two purposes. One is to render alternate HTML, and the second is to control the look of the control, the menu control in this case, by using a cascading style sheet. So here in this menuadapter.vb class, as we're doing the rendering, we are creating specific classes that are associated with different parts of the menu control in this case. And so there is a certain degree of standardization here in that you have to follow a convention when you're creating your cascading style sheets that matches the class names that are being implemented here during the rendering process. And we'll look at the cascading style sheet in just a moment, and we'll see that in detail. So after we render the begin tag, we have the render end tag, which basically closes things off. And then the real meat of this is down here in the override of the render contents method. And in this render contents method, we're calling a method called build items, and in that we are actually rendering all of the menu items using the unordered list and the list item HTML elements as we saw on the sample web page. And I'll leave that to you to go off and download the source code and look at all the details of how we're actually implementing the rendering of the different menu elements. However, the basic approach is essentially the same. We're rendering both an HTML element and an associated class attribute that allows that element to be formatted using a cascading style sheet. Now, if you were to look at the other controls that are in here, such as the details view, data list, etc., you would see a very similar process where the appropriate HTML elements and associated style names are being rendered for that control. So now let's go take a look at the other sample website that I have implemented here that we looked at in the very beginning of the video and see in detail how you would implement, in this case, a CSS control adapter menu on your own website. So what we'll do is collapse down this friendly sample website, which again was created using the project template that was installed with the ASP.NET CSS control adapter toolkit, and we'll go take a look at our sample website here. There's several pieces that you need to add to the website, and the first one is in the bin folder, the CSS friendly assembly. You may not have a bin folder in your website, so if not, just create a new folder and place the CSS friendly assembly in it. The second thing you need to do is to put the cascading style sheets that relate to the menu control in your project or website. Now there's two cascading style sheets here. The first one is called menu.css, and that actually comes from the toolkit. If we go over here to the CSS folder, you'll see here is that menu CSS, and all I did was copy it over to my sample website project. And menu CSS contains what we might call the behavior for the menu. It doesn't contain contains very little in relation to the appearance of the menu on the page. So what you do to separate the behavior from the appearance of the menu is, by convention, you should implement another cascading style sheet that has the look or appearance of the menu, and I've done that here in the menu CSS file. Now the standard menu CSS file is pretty simple here, and as you can see, it's got just a few styles in it that relate to some of the visibility and position of the menu. And if we go over here and look at the CSS menu, again, CSS menu is the cascading style sheet that I implemented specific to this website to provide the look of our menu on the sample page. One of the important things to note in our own CSS menu, which again is specific to this page or this menu, is that we have created styles that extend the styles that are in menu.css. And in this case, I've called all of our styles CSS adapter menu so that we can differentiate them from the standard ASP.NET dash menu, which are over here in the menu CSS file. So essentially, think of it as if we are inheriting, so to speak, from the base menu cascading style sheet and then implementing or extending what we want in our specific menu here in the individual CSS menu style sheet. Now, I'm not going to go into detail here and go through all of the styles that are here. You can go off, download the toolkit, and look at those examples in detail and determine what it is that you want for your menu. However, there's one thing to point out, and that is that we've created essentially one set of classes to demonstrate how to make our menu look the way we want it to look, and call that the all those styles, the CSS adapter menu styles. We could create a second set in this cascading style sheet, or a separate cascading style sheet, that would implement a different look for our menu, so that we could apply one style to a particular menu or set of menus in our site, and the second style to an alternate set of menus on the site. So there is that flexibility in this model that you can have multiple sets of styles to make different menus, or in the case of another control, a different grid, etc., look different ways. So let's take a look at the actual web page here, CSSAdapterMenu.aspx, and it's quite simple. We don't have to register any controls here, because one very important thing to realize is that we're not subclassing the standard ASP.NET menu control and implementing our own version of it, that we're actually extending it by applying an adapter to the standard control. And so this is much more convenient from a development perspective because we don't have to have a separate class and then register that class on this page and all the pages that universally across our site, because we're using the adapter is applied to all our menu controls. We are linking in the two style sheets here, the standard menu CSS and then the individual CSS menu, which is our look for the menu. One thing to note is that I have, in this case, put it in the CSS folder alongside the menu style sheet. We very well could have put this CSS menu over in an app theme folder, so it's part of a theme in our website. Either way would work. Down here on line 15 is where we actually implement the menu control. And in this demo, it's getting its menu data from a data source file, which is what the standard web.sitemap. And the thing to note here is the new attribute called CSS selector class. And other than that, the menu is identical to the standard ASP.NET menu. And you may remember this class, or I should say this attribute, when we were looking at the VB source code, and I pointed out that one of the things that we added to the initial div that contains the entire menu is a new class attribute that looked at this value in CSS selector class. And if you notice, the value in CSS selector class is CSS adapter menu, which is what we've used over here in our cascading style sheet that provides the individual look for this menu. So that's the connection between the style sheet and the control, and what the control will do is it will go off when it renders this and use all of the styles that have the prefix, so to speak, or are of the style CSS adapter menu. So it's very important when you're creating your style sheet to follow that convention and be aware of the fact that that is the link, so to speak, between the cascading style sheet and your menu control. Now, as I said a few minutes ago when we were looking at the CSS menu style sheet, that you could implement two or more versions of the styles for the menu and give them different names or use a different name in the convention naming for the styles, and then it's here when you declare the menu on the page and you specify what the CSS selector class value is that you would point to one of those alternate styles that you've created in the style sheet. So that's all there is to putting the menu on the page. It's pretty simple. And there's one more important piece that we need to look at, and it's over here in the app browsers folder. And what we've done here is created a .browser file. So let's open that up. And what this does is ASP.NET, when it goes to render the pages, looks to see if there are any .browser files in the app underscore browsers folder. And if so, depending upon what tags are inside of these files, it does different things for different browsers. Now, the details of the browser file are something you can look up and read about on your own. I want to point out one specific thing here in relation to control adapters. One of the things that you can control in the browser class is for a specific browser, you can specify which control adapters are active in that particular browser. And you can see here that in order to create that demonstration where we looked at the same page in IE and Firefox, is that I limited the Firefox browser to being the one that actually applies the control adapters, including the menu adapter that we are using, so that the Firefox browser rendered the version of the menu using the control adapter CSS approach, whereas IE, which is not defined here in the browser file as using the control adapters, did not render the CSS version of the menu, but the standard table-based ASP.menu. So if we wanted all browsers to use our CSS-based menu, we would replace the RefID value here with default instead of Mozilla Firefox. And if we wanted IE to, say, for some reason just use the grid adapter, then we would need another browser tag here in the browser file, which specified that the control adapter grid would be used for IE. etc. One thing to note is that this is at the moment an all or none phenomena, so if you apply a control adapter, it is going to be used for all instances of the control in your website. So those are all the pieces that we need to implement the CSS control adapter in our own website. We have the CSS friendly DLL, which contains all of the control adapters that we saw over here in the source code project in the app code folder here. All of those are compiled into the DLL that we have over here. And then we use the browser file to control which type of browser uses various control adapters. We added cascading style sheets, the standard menu cascading style sheet, because we're using the menu control. If we were using the grid view or the detailed list, etc., we would need to add the appropriate style sheets here and then link them in to the web pages that use them, as we did here on line 9, linking in the menu cascading style sheet. The other cascading style sheet is an extension of the base style sheet for that particular control, where you implement the look of the particular control, in this case the menu. I encourage you to go off and download the source code for the CSS control adapter toolkit from CodePlex, as well as the assembly, and also take a look at that ASP.NET/controladapters page as well, because there's some good information there as well as some examples that will help you out. Also, all of the source code you see in this demo is available for download accompanying the video. So I hope you have learned a little bit about creating and using CSS control adapters. This is Chris Pels from idevtech.com. Thanks very much for your time.